quickly review what we discussed. Fourth chapter, transcendental knowledge. We did a few verses, right? Yeah, we discussed about the intricacies of action.
Mm-hmm.
15 onwards, right? 16 onwards? 16 to 21.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe there are quite a bit verses. You can just summarize some of the points. So what is action, what is inaction, what is forbidden action?
So person in Krishna consciousness, whatever he does, that's a karma, action, inaction.
Mm.
And the action done per Vedas, that's a karma.
Mm.
And the action which is opposite to Vedas,
is vikarma.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, please, you can share. On your own, you can share before I ask questions.
So, see, doing action in inaction. So, the verse 18 talks about action in inaction and inaction in action. So, action in inaction is when... action in inaction is when the non-devotee is simply sitting there, or a Brahman realization person is trying to sit there, trying to control all his senses, and then that's still acting, right? Even Krishna already says that even if you try to sit quietly, your senses act. And so that is action in inaction. And inaction in action.
No.
Inaction in action is the devotee in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Correct.
So inaction in action is a devotee, and he is he's acting all the time, but he is doing inaction. That is akarma.
Mm-hmm.
He gets no reaction for it. So because he is doing everything for the Lord, and he's not even trying to maintain himself. So
what does Krishna says about the person who knows these two?
Sir. And he is in the transcendental position.
So a devotee knows these two, that you know, if he acts for Krishna, he doesn't get reactions.
Yeah.
If he doesn't act and merely abstains work, he's still getting reactions.
Yeah.
So that's why he always acts in Krishna consciousness, and he remains in transcendental position, even though he's engaging in all sorts of activities. Okay, then next. So from 19 onwards, it's the qualities of a person in Krishna consciousness. Now, how does he act in knowledge, right? That's what Krishna is saying, because Arjuna was confused about that. So, how does he act? So, he acts without desire for sense gratification, right? All these things which Krishna is listing here. So, the same action may be there, but the motivation is different now. Mm. And because of which the reactions of work is burnt up, right? That's why, you know, it's called fire of perfect knowledge. Then we discuss the words where Krishna says, within the heart, I remove the ignorance as the shining lamp. Now, from 10th chapter. Yeah.
Mataji also talked about, you know, we shouldn't judge the devotee looking at what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it may seem like he's doing, you know, like current people, but...
Exactly, yeah. Correct. Because Prabhupada says in first line, that only a person in full knowledge can understand the activities of a person in Krishna consciousness. That's a very, you know...
Profound,
pregnant sentence. Okay. Then, from 20, 21. So, we talked about this being ever satisfied and independent, and this one, and next verse says about, in this verse only Prabhupada says, you know, he's not even anxious for personal maintenance. In the next verse, he says, you know, he acts only for bare necessities of life, just to keep the body and soul together. So he doesn't endeavor anything more for his sense gratification. So, Mataji, some of the points. Navya Mataji, you can share something. Rajra Chesh Prabhu. Anything. General 2021.
What I understood was, it's like if one is, this is a point being repeated throughout, I think, from chapter two itself, is if you act for your own personal gain, if you have a sense of proprietorship, then you are all your actually your all actions are
reactions.
You get reactions. So, but if you actually have Krishna in mind and if you don't have any sense of proprietorship, and then you act without any attachment to the results, you just act for Krishna, then that is real action. Like that is the real path to happiness, to peace, to everything. Like it's like whatever you're doing in this world is kind of useless waste of time, because you are always doing it with a sense of either envy for something, a sense of proprietorship, you want personal gain, and you're never thinking about Krishna. So my takeaway from all this, details, I forget the details on what the one details from the other, but the net result for me is always think of Krishna and keep Krishna in mind, and make all your activities for Krishna, and what will make Krishna happy, and don't think about, and that way you won't think about yourself all the time. Your bare necessities of life for you will you basically just be fulfilling your business in life, Krishna will take care of you. So you won't actually feel either attached to the results. You won't feel sad if something bad happens. It's like Matas Prachata Kanteya, Sitoshu, Sukhatakala. So I think all of these things tie together for me. It's more about the way you think about yourself. So in this chapter, Krishna is actually describing a person, and what exactly the person does in a bit more detail. That's my
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, you got the essence, very nice. Yeah, essence ultimately, that's why the end of Bhagavad Gita, when we understand Bhagavad Gita, how do we know we understood Bhagavad Gita correctly? Proof is that we surrender to Krishna. So that's why every verse, Prabhupada never misses the point, he tries to bring us to that. And just keep Krishna in center, and there's a verse which clearly Krishna says, whatever you do it for me. Yad karoshi, yad dashnashi. Let's see that. Yad karoshi, yad dashnashi. Karoshi is K. Ninth chapter or something. Okay. Can't find it in the index.
9.27.
Yeah, 9 chapter. Now that is
Patra.
Yeah, that's correct. Ashnash. Yeah. 9 chapter, right? Yeah, 9 chapter something. So 9.27. Krishna says, yeah, next to that Patra Pushpa verse, yat karoshi yat ashnashi yat juhoshi dadashi yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me.
Yeah.
That's what. Whatever we do, whatever activities, services, everything, just do it as sacrifice to Vishnu. Then that's what in third chapter Krishna says, right? Then you will know ignanartat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. Then you will not get affected by the bondage, but you will lead to liberation. Yeah. So then, okay. That's fine, right? Actually, we'll come to that same point again in these verses also. The question. Okay, let's think about this concept throughout this class and see whether we can get this answer. So the question is, so the soul is entrapped in this material body and is in this material world. And this material world, because of the modes of material nature, it's being even more pulled, you know, soul is getting trapped more and more. It's like, it's described as a fly is stuck in the spider's web and it's trying to escape. The more it tries to move about in the spider's web, it gets more entangled. Right? More it tries to be busy. It goes busy, you know, trying to put this step, that step. The more it does, then what we find is a fly completely covered with the spider web. That's all. And we don't even see the fly and it dies like that. So that's how, you know, we are trapped in this world. And whatever step we take, it's going to only entangle us. So the question is, now this we can think through because we are going to get this answer in this class hopefully. The question is then how, what is a solution for that soul to get out of this entanglement? Because in and out we are surrounded by this material world which is going to entangle the soul. So like the fly stuck in the spider web. So what is the solution within this, while remaining in this world, how can the soul get free? Right? So okay, let's see. I think we all know the answer, but you know, we'll see what happens. In the one verse, Prabhupada beautifully explains in the purport. Text number 22. Yadrich, I didn't even start the recording. Oh, I did. Yeah. Yadrichalabasantushto dvandvatito vimatsara samasiddhau asidhau cha krutva pinav nipatyate. He who is satisfied. We did this before. We finished this, right?
No, Mataji. You are starting this. We ended in 20.
Yeah,
21st. Oh, really? He who is satisfied with gain which comes on its own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure. We did this.
No, we just read the purport.
Oh.
Only this.
Only translation.
Okay. Who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. Again, same thing. Gain which comes on its own accord. It's the same, like, you know, as if he's not striving for anything. So if you read this, again the purport, Prabhupada clarifies, you know, these points, he explains in the purport. And what else? Who is free from duality? Yeah, because success and failure, all those things. And he does not envy. He is steady in both success and failure. That's also similar to this duality. He's never entangled, all the performing actions. These are all, again, you know, details of his character. How does he perform his action? The one in transcendental knowledge, how does he perform his action? Like how we read, right, the symptoms of a transcendentalist in the second chapter. Okay, so we'll read the purport.
A Krishna conscious person does not make much endeavor even to maintain his body. He is satisfied with gains which are obtained of their own accord. He neither begs nor borrows, but he labors honestly as far as power and is satisfied with whatever is obtained by
his own honest labor. Okay, that's the first point. He's satisfied with gain which comes on its own accord. That's what Prabhupada explained. That he doesn't just, that's honest means some basic, simple thing, whatever is needed. So he doesn't over endeavor. We discussed that over endeavoring will cause, you know, disrupt our spiritual life. So he doesn't over endeavor. So the next point is,
he is therefore independent in his livelihood. He does not allow anyone's service to hamper his own service in Krishna consciousness. However, for the service of the Lord, he can participate in any kind of action without being disturbed by the duality of the material world.
Okay, so that's the second point, you know, free from duality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't waver his service according to heat and cold, summer and winter, right? It's not that, you know, if it's winter I'll not come to Mangalati, or if it's hot summer I'll not take bath, right? These things will not happen for him. So he'll be steady in his service.
What does it mean? He does not allow anyone's service to hamper.
He doesn't allow anyone's service to hamper his own service in Krishna consciousness. So sometimes we may, you know, everybody, so it's a very nice way Prabhupada is putting this. Anyone's service, so everybody is serving. It may, but in a way that service may disturb one's other service in Krishna consciousness. Like for example, no
service to anyone here.
like everybody is serving. Anyone's service means everybody is serving. But by somebody's service, our service to Krishna may get disturbed. Like how I mean is, everybody is serving means, Mataji, can we close it tight? Thank you. So everybody is serving. So even sense enjoyer is serving, but he is serving Maya. So by doing that excessive sense enjoyment, sometimes he may disturb a devotee. See, let's say, you know, especially in India, right? You want to we visited our in-laws place. Opposite only there is a school. So okay, school, that's fine. Okay, they do Vande Mataram loudspeaker, that's fine. But sometimes in marriages, right, loudly, you know, the family so film music will be going on. So people, houses nearby, let's say devotees are staying, they want to do japa or present some lecture, is Krishna consciousness service is disturbed, right? That's what Prabhupada says, one man's food is another man's poison. So that person is serving, but serving Maya. That service is disturbing his service in Krishna service. So he doesn't allow like that. That means he doesn't get disturbed even if it happens. He doesn't allow it. No, he doesn't get disturbed. At least that's what I understood. I don't know. He does not allow, because you know it cannot be because he's saying anyone's service, so it cannot be like, you know, anyone's anger or something. He didn't mean like somebody's taking revenge. Right, and then he's stopping his service. So his Prabhupada's mood is everybody is serving, but still in some cases that may hamper our service, but he doesn't get disturbed. Okay.
The duality of the material world is felt in terms of heat and cold, or misery and happiness. Krishna consciousness person is above duality because he does not hesitate to act in any way for satisfaction of Krishna.
Hmm.
Therefore, he is steady both in success and failure. These signs are visible when one is fully in transcendental knowledge.
Okay, so then he Prabhupada connected it to the third point. Prabhupada says, you know, steady in both success and failure. Because, you know, he doesn't hesitate to act any way for satisfaction of Krishna. So, for example, Bhishma Dev, right? He knows he is going to be called as a person being opposite to Krishna forever. But he doesn't hesitate to act because he knows internally this is what is my service to Krishna. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's okay, we'll go on. 23. Gatasangasya muktasya jnanavastita chetasa yajnayacharata parma samagram pravilliyate. A work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. The same thing again. So a person who is not attached to the modes of material nature means like he is doing spiritual activity and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. That means his activities are spiritual completely.
Becoming fully Krishna conscious.
No, one second. We'll start from the fourth line. Whatever he does, fifth line.
Whatever he does for Krishna, who is the primeval Vishnu. Therefore, all his works are technically sacrifices because sacrifice aims at satisfying the Supreme Person, Vishnu, Krishna. The resultant reactions to all such work certainly merge into transcendence. And one does not suffer material effects.
So, you know, whatever he does becomes a sacrifice. Whatever he does is a devotional service. So, it's not like, you know, we do yajna, that's what is sacrifice. Otherwise, whatever we do is, you know, something else, karma. So, it's all about consciousness.
Why doesn't he merge into transcendence?
Yeah, it's too.
So, the Lord takes away the.
Samagram into totality. Merges entirely.
The reactions are taken by the Lord, not by the devotee. That's why
fully situated transcendence merges entirely. Yeah. I don't know for the specific term. That's what Krishna is using. Praviliyate merges. Yeah, there are some verses like that, especially, you know, for people, Mayavadis, to help them support their theory. They use those verses of merging all those things to say, this is a goal. So there are some verses like that specifically. Okay, so in the next verse, 24, Krishna introduces the concept of sacrifice. That's what is going to cover in the rest of the verses, 25 to 33. So this verse is also, it's like that only, no, very sweet. Wow, the Sanskrit is also very nice. Brahmarpanam brahmavir brahmagno brahmanahutam brahmaivatena kantavyam brahma karma samadina. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is also of the same spiritual nature. Okay, so what is Krishna saying? A person who is absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain spiritual kingdom, because he is absorbed even now, so at the end of the life he is going to attain spiritual world. Because why? Because his contribution, because of his full contribution to spiritual activities. That means he is only doing spiritual activities. And how are such activities? They are in such a way that the consummation is absolute. That means the final thing is absolute, and that which is offered is also spiritual. It's like if you imagine a fire sacrifice, the ghee is spiritual because the purpose is spiritual. The ghee is spiritual, whatever banana, grains, fire, everything becomes spiritual. Whatever is offered is spiritual, and the goal is to please Vishnu, that's also spiritual. So that's why all his activities are spiritual. So he attains spiritual kingdom at the end. That's what Krishna is saying. This is where we answer that question. Okay, now let's take a vote. What is that answer? First, we raised a question, right? We are stuck in this material world. You're saying, what is the question? You didn't hear that?
Yeah, I think I got that.
Uh-huh.
I thought you were discussing about something
else. Yeah, so we are stuck in this material world, right? So how does, and dealing with day-to-day material things, right, which only entangle us, then how does that soul get now unentangled, being in this material world?
Is it a question to us?
Yeah, what's the solution? We all know it, actually.
If we keep Krishna in center of each activity, we will not get
to
the work for Krishna.
Yeah, basically spiritualize the activities, right? That's what we read here, right?
Yeah.
Everything, if you offer as a Krishna service to Vishnu, then it becomes spiritual. It no longer acts materially. So even though we are in the material world, the nature of the things now will start acting spiritually rather than materially. So it will not bind us, but it will actually help us liberate. The example is, Prabhupada talks about other very nice examples, but another example is, it's like we fall on the ground, right? But how do we get up from the ground?
Push against,
take support from the ground and get up. It's like that. So we know we entangled and we fell down here, but you know, take the help of this material nature and then again go up. Prabhupada gives other example here, we'll read that. So from fifth line, a conditioned soul. Very nice the way he describes it. Let's try to clearly read and understand this. So sweet.
A conditioned soul entangled in material contamination is sure to act in the material atmosphere, and yet he has to get out of such an environment. The process by which the conditioned soul can get out of the material atmosphere is Krishna consciousness. For example, a patient who is suffering from disorder of the bowels due to overindulgence in milk products is cured by another milk product, namely curds. The materially absorbed conditioned soul can be cured by Krishna consciousness as set forth here in Gita.
We can pause it. Right, very, very nice, right? Systematic way Prabhupada is explaining. First is, conditioned soul is stuck in this environment because of which it's getting contaminated and entangled. So the only way is he has to spiritualize his activities of Krishna consciousness. Like example Prabhupada is giving is, a patient is suffering from disorder of bowels because of overindulgence in milk products can be cured by eating yogurt. Yogurt is also different, another form of milk, right? It's just the changing a nature of that of the material. Now it cures it instead of contaminating. So same material world, instead of contaminating us, can liberate us, help us go back to Krishna. We can continue this process.
This process is generally known as yajna or activity, sacrifices, simply meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna.
Mm.
The more the activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu only, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption.
Okay, so that's the key. That's the key. The more the activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu only, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption. So it's not about actually, you know, if you look at it in ultimate sense,
it's not the activity.
There is no excuse for us being Krishna conscious. So if you really understand this properly, anywhere you can remember Krishna and become Krishna conscious, right? It's not about the environment. Of course, in a beginning stage, we can always be in the, you know, favorable environment so that, you know, we can it nurture the devotion. But in the advanced stage, it doesn't matter. That's why, you know, pure devotees, they don't make a difference between this world and spiritual world. We feel, you know, oh, I want to get out of this world, right? But for them, it's all spiritual. Krishna also, for him, everything is spiritual. It's nothing like, you know, good or bad, right? So pure devotees already, they don't see good or bad, or they see actually spark in everyone. We see, you know, is devotee, non-devotee, atheist, all these things, right? Because we are supposed to, depending on the adhikar of a person, Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama, you know, you're supposed to differentiate and act at a particular at the level we are at. We can't act like Uttama Adhikari and associate with, you know, Mayavadi and say, you know, I'm going to make friends, you know. I was hearing one lecture and Maharaj was sharing, you know, with this verse is there, right, in Bhagavad Gita. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmanika Vihastini. Means a person sees, a learned person sees elephant, snake and others, you know. You can refer to that verse, but everybody equally. That's the verse. You know, the person who is really realized, he sees everybody equally. Means, you know, he doesn't distinguish based on bodily designations. Means he sees the soul. Then it doesn't mean, you know, we can embrace a snake or go in front of a tiger and hug him and all these things, right? Or another example I was hearing is, right, you know, like we kill the virus by taking antibiotics within our body. We don't say, oh poor virus, ayo, how can I, you know, it's, you know, it's killing the our soul, right? We say our soul, we're killing us, right? So, so that's all, you know.
I didn't understand the second analogy.
What
virus you are killing with antibiotics? So what is
that?
What was the point I was trying to say?
You are not hesitating to kill.
Yeah, I'm saying we have to act at our level. That's what I meant to say. Like, okay. No, we should not act over advanced and try to associate. You know, I say, okay, virus. Okay, I want to be compassionate to this virus. You know, I want to make it a devotee and let me keep it eat prasadam more and more. So that's what I mean. Like, you know, acting at our level. So that's why, you know, even though this word says it's not about the environment, it's all about consciousness, we cannot overestimate ourselves. And let's say, as that example, right, somebody said, I'll go to the bar and preach, Prabhupada, can I go? Prabhupada said, if you can come back, you go. So according to our level, we act. We can continue a few lines further down. Thus, the offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness.
This is
it's in the middle of the sentence, actually, like 1, 2, 3, 7th line, 6th line.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, anybody sees it.
Thus, the offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness, the consuming agent of such an offering, or contribution to the process of consumption, the contributor and the result are all combined together, Brahman or the Absolute Truth.
Yeah, as we described, you know, in the example of yajna, everything becomes spiritual. Yeah. So all the items are listed here. Okay, now read very, very, you know, follow very carefully, very, very wonderful.
The absolute truth covered by Maya is called matter. Matter, doubted for the cause of absolute truth, regains its spiritual quality.
That's all. Finished. It's so concise, so sweet, right? Everything, the whole Krishna conscious philosophy is there in these two lines. So absolute truth or spirit covered by Maya is matter. But the same matter, when dovetailed for the service of Krishna, regains its spiritual nature. So it's nothing like matter and spirit. It's all about how we see it. Right? Initially, let's say when we are in the enjoyment spirit, when we see a girl or in a person in opposite sex, we may see how beautiful they are, you know, in the mood to enjoy. Gradually, when you get purified, when you see that person, we see, you know, how I can bring this, how this soul is, you know, strapped in this Maya, how can I help this person come closer to Krishna? Or when we see the rose, initially we want to go smell and, you know, put it in our hair or give it to a girlfriend or something. But later on, you know, how I wish I, immediately a thought comes, how I wish I can give this to deity. See, no, that when we actually we can monitor ourselves, the change of our thought process, it should be happening.
Absolute truth generally means God, right, Mother?
Yeah, spiritual, like, you know.
In this context, it's spirit.
Yes, absolute truth means, yeah, the spiritual Krishna, right? Everything is absolute truth. Absolute truth is Krishna. But everything is within Krishna at the same time, right? Krishna is individually existing, but everything else is also within Krishna.
So that so the significance means Krishna there.
No, but here
spiritual, like anything spiritual, everything. So essentially, everything is spiritual, but when it's covered by Maya, what is Maya? Maya is sense of, what is the definition of Maya? Does anybody know?
Which is not.
Yeah, that which is not. Definition of Maya is that which is not. That means you try to use it in a way which is not it meant to be. It's meant to be used in service of Krishna, but you use it for your own enjoyment. So when you cover the objects in this world with that propensity to enjoy, it becomes matter now. But otherwise you use it with the propensity to serve the Lord, now it's acting spiritually. Okay. Yeah, so continue. Krishna consciousness
is the process of converting the illusory consciousness into Brahman or the Supreme. Mm. When the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it is said to be in samadhi or trance. Mm. Anything done in such transcendental consciousness is called yajna or the sacrifice for the Absolute. In that condition of spiritual consciousness, the contributor, the contribution, the consumption, the performer or leader of the performance, and the result or ultimate gain, everything becomes one and absolute, the Supreme Brahman. That is the method of Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. So that's why many times we say, no, it's not about what you do, what things you use or whatever, it's all about motivation and how. See, for example, you know, there are it's all our, based on our advancement, no? It's a, the principle is here is Yukta Vairagya. How you can dovetail everything in service to Krishna. Right? You know, if we are very advanced, we can use all the things in this world which generally entangle people as a service to Krishna. Like for example, Facebook. Generally, you know, it's now people say, you know, let me not even, you know, enter an account. Now people have, initially it's like, oh, everybody jump in. After some people understand, okay, I will not show my kids. People know what the consequences of having that account. But at the same time, you can have that account for the propagation of Krishna consciousness movement, right? Use it properly for spreading the glories of the holy name, for, you know, distributing the preaching activities, right? It's all about the consciousness. Then, because of the consciousness, as is described, the contribution, consumption, everything is spiritual now. Because the consciousness is right, the result will be pure. You know, whoever visits the Facebook, actually, you know, for junk reasons also, they may come in and, you know, get benefit actually. It's not that I may enter sometime and go somewhere and bump into something wrong. But you know, others may also get benefited.
There are so many groups for Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
They are running very actively.
Yeah.
I am following few. Too much information that they are putting.
That's right.
Amazing. I don't have time to look at others of this. I have subscribed few. So every day too much.
I don't know whether we shared this example once, right? Somebody criticized... is it Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Yeah. He was running this daily newspaper. It's called Nadia Prakash. Mm-hmm. Right? Daily newspaper. We discussed this, I think, earlier. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then somebody said, you know, why you want a daily newspaper for the news about spiritual world? You know, why we need one daily, you know, every day. We can have once in a month or maybe, you know, once in 2 weeks or something like that. Then he was describing for the activities within this village, for whatever, you know, some incidents happen, there are 5 newspapers. But the spiritual world is three times bigger than this material world. And this is one village and it's not one part of one country, no, part of one planet, right? So many planets and spiritual world, so many unlimited planets, so many activities of spiritual world are going on. even every minute if I publish one newspaper, it's not enough. So what to think of daily having one newspaper? So it's like that, you know, if we properly use all these things, we can be bombarded with spiritual news. And it's like, oh, enough, you know, instead of being bombarded with material news. Yeah. Say 25. Okay, now this concept of sacrifices. There are, Krishna lists many sacrifices. And the goal of all these sacrifices is to attain transcendental knowledge. So that will come in like verse number 30. So 25 to 33 is the next section. It's all about sacrifices. Daivam eva pareyagnam yogina paryupasate brahmanagnu apareyagnam yagne naivo pajuvate. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them, and some of them offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman. So here there are two categories of persons worshipping demigods and persons worshipping Brahman, but both of them, they are doing some kind of sacrifices. So sacrifice. So we can read like, you know, 6, 7, 8 lines down. Factually, sacrifice means
to satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is also known as Yajna. All the different varieties of sacrifice can be placed within two primary divisions, namely sacrifice of worldly possessions and sacrifice in pursuit of transcendental knowledge. Those who are in Krishna consciousness sacrifice all material possessions for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, while others who want some temporary material happiness sacrifice their material possessions to satisfy demigods such as Indra, the sun god, etc. And others who are impersonalists sacrifice their identity by merging into the existence of impersonal Brahman.
Yeah, we can pause there, Prabhu. So again, it's the same thing, you know, sacrificing of material possessions. one can do it for Krishna for the sake of devotional service, or one can do it for demigods for the sake of more material possessions. Right, same thing, it's material or spiritual. Then another category is, the impersonalists also are sacrificing something. They are sacrificing their identity. They are saying, I want to merge. They are sacrificing their identity by merging into the existence of the impersonal Brahman. Okay, let's come further down. In other words, the futile workers.
Sacrifice the material possessions for material enjoyment, whereas the impersonalist sacrifices his material designations with a view to merging into the existence of the Supreme. For the impersonalist, the fire altar of sacrifice is the Supreme Brahman, and the offering is the self-being consumed by the fire of Brahman. The Krishna consciousness person, like Arjuna, however, sacrifices everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, and thus all his material possessions as well as his own self, everything is sacrificed for Krishna. Thus he is the first class yogi, but he does not lose his individual existence.
Yeah, so Prabhupada tied everything together with Krishna conscious person. He also sacrifices material possessions. He also, see, it's very sweet. Prabhupada talked about two categories. One is a person who is sacrificing the material possessions, right, putti workers, possessions. And the second one is the person, impersonalist, who sacrifices the identity. Now, a devotee does both. Sacrifices material possessions and also identity. Not identity. His own self. For the satisfaction of Krishna. But he remains, he doesn't lose his individual existence. Like the impersonalist.
What
that's why,
is
Krishna
trying to tell you?
He is gradually, that's why here it's not clear, it will not be clear. That's why the section theme is, he is going to list now various sacrifices based on the, later on he clarifies that based on the qualities of work, that means guna, we are impelled to do certain sacrifices. Like based on mode of ignorance or mode of passion, we are, like for example, even a person, politicians also sometimes they fast because they want to get some political power and things. So that's also a sacrifice. But you know, it's done in mode of passion and mode of ignorance. So like that, Krishna clarifies later on, there are other sacrifices in, are in based on different qualities and based on the gunas. But ultimately, he says, in all these sacrifices are meant to, they are going to elevate, give us transcendental knowledge, which is a chapter title. That's how it's connected here. There are various sacrifices which one can perform to get this transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is spiritual knowledge. Otherwise, we are entangled, you know, thinking that we are the body. Only when we get this transcendental knowledge that, you know, I am the spirit soul, that's when we can step up. Right? So, how do we get that knowledge? That to get that knowledge, we have to do sacrifices. Then Prabhupada says, but you know, all these are other categories of sacrifices, but ultimately for us, is sacrificing everything for Krishna. It's not that, you know, we sacrifice possessions for demigods, or, you know, sacrifice individuality into Brahman. These are other people, other categories. That's what Prabhupada ties in every time, saying, you know, what a devotee needs to do is sacrifice everything for Krishna. By doing that, that's why, you know, for us, we get the transcendental knowledge from the beginning. There is a verse, right, which says in Bhagavatam, along with bhakti comes jnana and vairagya. So we don't have to endeavor to cultivate knowledge. We don't have to endeavor to perform detached, become detached. Just increase our bhakti. Along with bhakti comes jnana and vairagya. So automatically when our, you know, Krishna pan increases, it has to be, others should have reduce. Right? Automatically when our attachment to Krishna increasing means we are taking more and more time to for Krishna. Then we are taking it away from other nonsense things.
Guruji, I read this as the materialist sacrifices material for no material. The impersonal sacrifices himself for no material, nothing. So, the Krishna conscious person sacrifices everything, but he still has it in individuality. He still retains his identity. So,
yeah. But more than identity, it's he for Krishna, right?
For Krishna.
Yeah.
That is a concept of soul as well, that souls actually goes from body to body. I mean, that's the continuation of the fact that your personality, you as a person exist. So it is in continuation of that, like it basically goes and follows that train of thought, that you are there, like, and you just change the body, you're always there.
Mm.
And that is in alignment with that, because although you are work in your positions maybe for Krishna, you are still you, like, and you have to make sure that you dedicate yourself in your work. Krishna.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, like impersonalist, everything merges on, you lost identity. That doesn't happen.
Mm. So. Yeah, that's why, you know, last clause, Prabhupada says, you know, he sacrifices his own self. That's very wonderful, right? Because he talked about a person who sacrifices material possessions. He talked about a person who loses his own self, right? Impersonalist. Then he's saying, Krishna conscious person sacrifices possessions, he sacrifices his own self, but he doesn't lose his individual identity.
Yes.
He's saying, you know, there is a way you can do both without losing your identity.
There is one question here. When we are saying sacrificing material positions, what is the example means? What do you mean? Like, devotee has to sacrifice everything, like material position and everything, but we are studying, we have to work harder and for Krishna and everything. So, where sacrifice is coming? What sacrifice we are talking about?
Yeah,
we
can answer. Anybody can answer.
Maybe I asked.
It's okay.
Sacrificing means using your possessions for Krishna.
It's not a sacrifice, right?
Sacrifice. See, what is the definition of sacrifice? See here.
You are getting more fun in that.
We read it in the first line in the purport, right? Factually, sacrifice means.
To satisfy the Supreme.
That's the definition of sacrifice there. Sacrifice means to satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is also known as Yajna. That's the definition of.
I can understand, like, austerity is like doing Yajna or doing something. That's. But what we are sacrificing here.
Okay, so see, the thing is, whenever we, Prabhupada says, you know, when once we come and start taking to Krishna consciousness, we should redefine your words or the meanings. We should start using, building a new dictionary. We have some concept of what sacrifice means, but now when Prabhupada gives its new definition, you know, we can accept that. So generally what we have a feeling of sacrifice means something which is painful to us.
Giving away,
you know, like, for example, I sacrificed my night or something, you know, I sacrifice my money, or you know, I sacrifice my college life for job or something, you know, that's all sacrifice. So we have a sense of some pain, which that then only we say it's a sacrifice. But Krishna conscious activities are sacrificed with lot of joy. So the definition of sacrifice, if we understand, then it's clear. So sacrifice means to satisfy the Vishnu. Mm. So if all the activities are
still correlating with the old definition,
yeah,
of sacrifice,
correct. Yes, yes.
Your sacrifice is yagya.
Yes.
Right. That's what.
Yes.
Madhuri, there is two ways of looking at this whole concept. One way is like all the material possessions that you have, you basically say this is not mine, this is Krishna's, and therefore, you know, and whatever I do from this point on is I'm doing for Krishna, and this nothing belongs to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the worker who's not working for any fruitful results. He's not interested in material. He's only interested in making sure Krishna is happy and satisfied. And if that means bringing up a family and supporting material for Krishna, for the family,
yes,
so that they are able
yes
to live. That
so it's
fine.
All
as long
future
as you are able
yes
to kind of go and take it with the
yes higher goal
perspective,
yes,
of the higher goal
yes
is for me to
yes
to get to Krishna.
Yes.
And this is, these are all the intermediate things.
Yes.
Then you actually get less and less entangled. Although you may have everything in the material around you, it's not yours.
Yes.
And even if you lose it one day, you're still happy because it wasn't yours to begin with.
Yes.
So
I wish you can act with that realization.
So it was Krishna's. Krishna gave it to get away. So what's left? So I mean, that's one way of putting it in this perspective. So you can actually change the perspective on life. And that way you can actually make progress towards
yeah
Krishna consciousness.
That's right, yeah.
That's one way of looking at it. The other way could be more extreme, which is I want to be an ascetic. I want to completely dedicate towards Krishna and become like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is what I'm going to do all the, you know, I'm
like
going to
austerity.
Okay,
I can get into austerity. I can basically go and chant, you know, all the time and get into that. And
so
that's
physical sacrifice, where you just give up all the stuff and then...
But that is, I think that is not being... talked about. I mean, we can interpret it in two different ways, which is either I completely lose my possessions and devote everything to Krishna, and you know, become like a yogi, and you know, I have nothing else to
okay
do.
So I understand. So what you're trying to say is Amit Prabhu's question, you know, sacrificing material possessions may mean literally giving up possessions,
giving up,
which is that extremity, or versus using them in service of Krishna, yukta vairagya. So that is Phalgu Vairagya.
Yes.
It's not, I'm not talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu example, but just literally giving up things is Phalgu Vairagya, right? Is a imperfect renunciation. But what practical philosophy we follow is Yukta Vairagya, connecting everything to Krishna. Then it's no longer material, it acts spiritual. Right? Yeah, we got it now. Okay, so we'll continue with text number 26. So again now in this verse, Krishna is describing sacrifices based on varnashrama, like, you know, how brahmacharis do sacrifices and how householders do sacrifices. So there will be some application for us. Text number 26.
Shrotadinindriyani anye samyam agnishu jugvati shabdadin vishayan anya indriyagnishu jugvati.
Some, the unalterated unadulterated brahmacharis sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control, and others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. So here it's talking about brahmacharis and grihasthas. So the first one, the brahmacharis, what do? They sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. That means they hear only Krishna Katha, instead of hearing all prajalpa and all the other concepts. And senses also, they use it only in Krishna's service. So that's their sacrifice. So they sacrifice the hearing process and the senses. Whereas grihasthas, they sacrifice objects of the senses. Especially Prabhupada talks about their sex indulgence. So we'll read some points and passport. And so we, from the beginning, the members of four divisions...
The members of the four divisions of human life, namely the brahmachari, the grihastha, the vanaprastha and the sannyasi, are all meant to become perfect yogis or transcendentalists. Since human life is not meant for our enjoying sense gratification like the animals, the four orders of human life are so arranged that one may become perfect in spiritual life. The brahmacharis or students under the care of a bona fide spiritual master control the mind by abstaining from sense gratification.
Mm.
The brahmachari hears only words concerning Krishna consciousness. Hearing is the basic principle for understanding, and therefore the pure brahmachari engages fully in Hare
Namanukirtana.
Chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord.
Okay, we can pause. Actually, we can now relate to what Amit Prabhu is asking, right? So, if brahmachari is dedicating himself to completely hearing about Krishna, so we may feel, what is that sacrifice? But actually, it's, you know, it's literally, if you see, he's sacrificing in the sense, he's not indulging his hearing capacity in sense gratification. So, that is the sacrifice he's making. So, we may feel day to day, what sacrifice I'm making? I mentioned one time, right, when during my initial sessions, our guide, we were part of this Vedic group, right, in Microsoft, and we were reading Bhagavad Gita every day. And sometimes, you know, in order to train, he used to give a chance to the new people who were attending to make a presentation. Now, I was like just maybe few months, like trying to understand, follow what's the concepts and things like that. And suddenly he said, you'd give a presentation. And I was like, you know, somebody who doesn't know anything, what will they do? But then anyway, somehow, whatever I studied from this thing, and I gave. Then he said, you know, thank you for your sacrifice. I was like, no, it was so joyful when whatever I did, what is this sacrifice? Because I felt like sacrifice means something should be painful. Nothing pain, no, I was happy doing it. So, because it's meant to please Krishna. And also, I'm sacrificing that time instead of using it in a nonsensical way. I was using it in preparing the presentation, reading, going through the verses. So, that's the sacrifice. Okay. So that's why, you know, by following the process of devotional service, you know, Krishna says by doing all these sacrifices, you will get transcendental knowledge. So by doing the process of this, following the process of devotional service, which includes Shravanam, Kirtanam, chanting, all these things, we are doing, these are all sacrifices. Then what is the net result? Net result should be transcendental knowledge. So we, after hearing all this, we will think, you know, okay, what is the sacrifice for me then? Right? We are already doing all those sacrifices. Hearing, chanting, reading, everything, these are all sacrifices. Okay, now we'll go to the householders.
Similarly, the householders who have some license for sense gratification perform such acts with great restraint. Sex life, intoxication and meat eating are general tendencies of human society. But a regulated householder does not indulge in unrestricted sex life and other sense gratification. Marriage and the principles of religious life is therefore current in all civilized human society because that is the way for restricted sex life. This restricted and unattached sex life is also kind of yajna because the restricted householder sacrifice is general tendency towards sense gratification for higher transcendental life.
Okay. So basically householder also he is doing a sacrifice. Instead of indulging his senses unrestrictedly for sense gratification, he is using it only for higher transcendental life. So actually Prabhupada said, if a householder, Prabhupada was saying, if a householder is so obedient and subservient to spiritual master that, you know, he takes permission from his spiritual master before indulging in sex life because he wants to procreate a child for Krishna. And for that purpose, if he takes permission and he does it with that consciousness, he is as good as a brahmachari. Because why? That's the whole concept is, what is your consciousness? So once the consciousness is clear, the very act which so-called entangles is now Krishna actually. It's spiritual. And that one will purify the tendency to enjoy. We cannot see it. That's why, you know, expert sannyasis, they can expert, you know, spiritual masters, they know all this, and you know that's how they engage the students. I'm trying to remember I'm recollecting one more personal incident. So first, yeah, so the very first almost one of the first instructions I received after we got engaged was Guru Maharaj mentioned that, you know, you do everything together. you chant together, you read together, you serve together, everything. You know, you mentioned like many of things like this. Then of course I was very new and very much materialistic, everything, and so much in mode of passion, this thing, everything. So I was thinking, you know, spiritual life means, you know, especially, you know, I don't know, first of all I didn't understand why marriage is recommended. You know, spiritual life means I have to abstain from all these things. How can I, why should I get married? Like, you know, ideally it should not be, because I was thinking in terms of enjoyment. Ideally it should not be even done. Like, you know, why? Okay, that's fine. As a woman, I don't have a choice, so I have to get married. That's fine. Then, but then why I got this instruction that I have to do together? Then it's even more intimacy. It's even more increases the sense of enjoyment. Or rather, you know, because the more we see the object, we feel like enjoying more. It's, that's the propensity, right? So I was thinking that in that calculation, then how, you know, how does it work? Of course, I didn't ask this, but I took that instruction. I was praying, you know, I was we were executing it nicely. And we, for a few years, and then we realized what's the key.
Yeah.
Oh no. Or, you know, why was that instruction potent? Or, you know, what's the significance of that instruction? The net result is that when we do things in service to Krishna together, the material propensity reduces and we see each other as servant of Krishna.
Mm.
So that's, so that's the key, actually, you know, if, because I, as I mentioned, you know, we have the tendency to see each other as a, each other as our own enjoyment. That's what a conception I had, right? No, why marriage in the first place? But then I have marriage, but do everything in service to Krishna. Then gradually you see, oh, actually my husband is servant of Krishna, is helping me in my service to Krishna. No, I'm meant to assist him in service of Krishna. We are doing things together in service to Krishna. Then gradually we see each other as Krishna's servants, not as objects for our enjoyment.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, right? So it's not about activities. It's all about consciousness. That's why once Prabhupada also, he was giving a marriage address. He said, you know, sannyasi, I'm a sannyasi, I'm not meant to indulge in all this, but I want to, because these boys and girls are, they can have a safe, you know, safe life in Krishna's journey. You know, that's why I'm encouraging them to come together and marry and have a sincere life. Okay. Can go to the next verse.
सर्वानिंद्रिया कर्माणि प्राण कर्माणि च भवे आत्मसंयम जुह्वति ज्ञान दीपिते.
Others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire of the controlled mind. Okay, so here this is about the Ashtanga Yoga process. So they want to achieve self-realization through the physical restraint of the mind and senses. What do? They offer the senses and life breath as oblations into the fire of controlled mind. So by restricting this breathing process, they want to control the mind. This is very practical for us, but that's why, you know, these are very different types of sacrifices Krishna is mentioning. So we can read from fifth line, the soul is subjected to
the functions of 10 kinds of air at work within the body, and this is perceived through the breathing system. The Patanjali system of yoga instructs one on how to control the functions of the body's air in a technical manner, so that ultimately all the functions of the air within become favorable for purifying the soul of material attachment.
Yeah, so you got it, this very physical process. The soul is entangled by air, you know, so they try to manipulate the air in such a way that soul is no longer affected by the material attachment. So it's the prana, apana, all this. There are eight angas.
Continue.
No, we'll not. These are all details. You can read it. I think that's all. We can pause there. For this verse. Yeah, so these people also are, they are doing sacrificing something, which they are sacrificing their functions of the senses and the life breath, because they are controlling, you know, I have to breathe in this way, inhale, exhale, so many other things. They are doing that. See, for example, uttering Om, that's also sacrifice, because you are using your breath in uttering spiritual sound vibration. Chanting Hare Krishna, using your breath to chant about Krishna, it's a sacrifice. Okay, we'll go to the next verse. 10:28.
Dravya yagnas tapo yagna yoga yagnas tapare swadhyaya yagnana yagnascha yataya samsita prata.
Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions, and others by performing severe austerities, and yet others by practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism, or by studying the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. So these are multiple categories. So Prabhupada is going to elaborate in the purport. So we'll just list one by one. So the first one is Dravya Yagya. No, it's a sacrifice of one's possessions. So we'll read it from the second line. There are persons who are sacrificing their possessions.
There are persons who are sacrificing their possessions in the form of various kind of charity. In India, the rich mercantile community or princely orders open various kinds of charitable institutions like Dharmashala, Anna Kshetra, Atithishala, Anathalaya and Vidya Pika. In other countries too, there are many hospitals, old age homes and similar charitable foundations meant for distributing food, education and medical treatment free to the poor. All these charitable activities are called
Dravyamaya Yajna. Yeah, we can pause there. So it's all about sacrificing the possessions. But for what? You know, for food, shelter, all these things, right? It need not be transcendental. But still, it's a sacrifice that leads to transcendental knowledge, because you are giving up something. Second category, now Prabhupada is going to talk about Tapomaya Yagya.
There are others who, for higher elevation in life or for promotion to higher planets within the universe, voluntarily accept many kinds of austerities, such as Chandrayana and Chaturmasya. These processes entail service vows.
Severe vows
for conducting life under certain rules. For example, under the Chaturmasya vow, the candidate does not shave for 4 months during the year, July to October. He does not eat certain foods, does not eat twice in a day, or does not leave home. Such sacrifice of the comforts of life is called
Tapomaya Yajna. So these are, we can pause. So second category is sacrificing or performing austerities. So performing austerities, some may do again for, you know, higher elevation within the life or for promotion to higher planets. So this is Tapomaya Yajna. And then third one, there are still others who engage themselves.
There are still others who engage themselves in different kinds of mystic yogas, like the Patanjali system for merging into the existence of the Absolute, or Hatha Yoga, or Ashtanga Yoga for particular purposes. And some travel to all the sanctified places of pilgrimage. All these practices are called Yoga Yajna, sacrifice for a certain type of perfection in the material world.
So Yoga Yajna, it's all about different kinds of mystic yogas like Patanjali. Sacrifice for certain type of perfection within the material world. So like, you know, mystic powers. Again, you know, same thing. If you want to gain something, you have to give up something. Even material. Even to get the heavenly planets or mystic powers or something, we need some. That's why even we see sometimes we may feel, this is a very nice concept. We feel why Krishna would have empowered, you know, demons. Hiranyakashipu, you know, if they are bad, why should they get powers? Right? Or even, so for example, we can see so many Mayavadi sannyasis. Many of them are equipped with mystic powers. They can change people's minds. know, they can create some vibhuti or something, right? So why Krishna has endowed them with such powers? Because so they can cheat people. Why? So the question is, because they did some sacrifice, then they get, have to get the results. So anybody, it's, so it's just give, you know, it's like formula and you get the result like that. It doesn't matter what's your motive. No, but of course devotees try to do, sincere devotees try to do this, they get a reverse result. No, Krishna will flop everything. But otherwise, if material motive somebody wants to do, if you do certain quota of sacrifice, you will get certain results. Okay. So then there are others. Next category, yeah. This is Swadhyaya Yajna.
There are others who engage themselves in the studies of different Vedic literatures, specifically the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutras or the Sankhya philosophy. All of these are called Swadhyaya
Yajna, or engagement.
Or engagement in the sacrifice of studies.
Yeah, so studying, reading Bhagavad Gita also is a sacrifice. No? It's sacrificing our time, right? No, we are doing a sacrifice.
All these yogis are faithfully engaged in different types of sacrifice and are seeking a higher status of life.
Okay, now proper connects to Krishna consciousness. It's very...
Krishna consciousness, however, is different from these because it is the direct service of the Supreme Lord. Krishna consciousness cannot be attained by any one of the above mentioned types of sacrifice, but can be attained only by the mercy of the Lord and its bona fide devotees. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is transcendent.
See this. So by doing such and such material sacrifices, you can at most get material benefits, but you will not get bhakti, which is spiritual. Got it? So you can't do it like a calculation. I go to temple, you know, 10 days or, you know, 1 year or one kartik every day, Mangalarti I go, I am supposed to get some bhakti. Right? But it's all mercy of the Lord and its devotees. So the key, more key, because we can't access the Lord, the easiest way to progress in bhakti is somehow serve devotees. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is transcendental. So that means it cannot be obtained by doing anything material. Only by mercy of devotees and the Lord. That's all. So devotees are, Krishna has given the, Krishna has given the green cards to the devotees. You know, they can distribute freely. Right? Our Lord can do it. Only they can do it. Right? That's all.
Mataji, all the, if you go and look, my mom is telling me, in Vrindavan and all, these people actually, they actually do this, they actually go and roll around the temple and
yes,
stuff,
yes.
And chanting the name and stuff.
Yeah.
Some people, so what are some of these things, does Krishna approve of them and say, look, this is good, I mean, this self, hurting yourself, is that counted as sacrifice or?
That's one of the sacrifices, right? I mean,
that's austerity. We don't know. It all depends on motive again.
But by doing that, if you are pleasing Krishna, then it's sacrifice.
That's why he's asking, by hurting yourself, are we really pleasing Krishna? That's what you're saying. So, you know, in a sense, like for example, we can say, I'm hurting too much, you know, whole day Janmashtami until midnight I'm not eating or drinking anything, right? I'm hurting so much myself, right? So that's why, you know, it's all should be guided by a bona fide acharya. Otherwise, whimsically, I can do so many things. I can keep pricking a pin on my body and say, every prick I say Hare Krishna and it's a sacrifice to Krishna, right? I can invent so many things and I can kill myself and I will have lose the whole hope of Krishna consciousness. No, that's why it's all should be guided, and luckily we don't have to make guesses, you know, which is pleasing to Krishna and, you know, let me invent something. No, we are given properly what should be done. That also is too much for us to do. So just if we get...
That verse is explained very clearly, like what is the difference between sacrifice and austerity.
Yeah.
I remember doing that for passing my third year exam, the winter of doing this. So now that is an austerity for myself. So it's not a sacrifice. No, I did that. So I did that. So I took darshan and I did that. Actually, I went there so that I, if I do that, they said we could do one more darshan. So I said, okay, let me also do. So then I prayed.
See, that's why, you know, when we do that, you'll get the results. This, because you, that's how it should work. Anybody gets it. But then you don't get bhakti.
That's why Swami passed the 3rd year exam, right?
Every year I passed because of
the third time.
Okay.
Third year.
Sorry.
You used one example, coming to Kartik for Mangalarati. So there are coming to that Mangalarati during that time, what is this? Is some, like, again, a consciousness matter a lot?
Yeah.
Or just physically you are just coming, I have to do it because everyone is saying we have to do it, I'm just doing it.
Yeah, that's also okay to one, see, rather than not doing anything, doing for some reason, that's also good. Because some way or the other, we are doing for Krishna, right? It's not like, you know, it's not like for Durga Puja, that month is there, right? I go do Durga Puja, we are not doing that, right? So at least it's for Krishna. So that way it's good. Some way or the other, even though we don't have the proper consciousness, we don't have the, at least inspired by devotees, we are doing it, that's very good.
So maybe like consciousness will be changed.
Will be changed. Over the years it will change. Or at the end of Kartik, Prabhu has experienced.
Yeah.
First Kartik, you know, they both attended the Mangalarati every day. We were also there. And
Come to Mangalarati. We used to come like every day in Mangalarati.
From Bellevue, they used to drive exactly 5:30.
So
they should be there here.
We should
in the
be
morning.
Here, so you have to really wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So that 1 month was like a complete, because you, I could see a lot of improvements. You can get more done on a day. Like you could get more. You get more time back. You think that I'm getting up early, I'll feel sleepy and all, and I'll feel tired the whole day. I'll not be able to do. But nothing like that. I mean, you can feel more activated. You get a lot more work done. And I think it was a very different experience. I mean, I think that's what kind of motivated us also to, you know, be a bit more sincere in the long term.
Yes. See, the sacrifice helps. So actually, I heard somewhere, Prabhupada, somebody said, like, 7 years, if you attend Mangalarati, no, you will get some amount of mystic power within the devotee, such that, you know, whatever you say will happen. No, that's a potency you will get by doing sacrifice even for Krishna. Of course, it depends. No, that's why it depends. But depends how the devotee uses that power, right? He may use it to. That's a problem, right? So that's why these are byproducts of bhakti are there. They are going to come to us, you know, glory, fame. Sometimes, you know, a lot of money also comes. But what?
These are all like, again,
we are not striving for them. We are not striving for them. But bhakti.
But let's say that 7 years, even
though. Okay, let me complete. Because we are serving the Supreme Lord so nicely. Lakshmi comes, the goddess Lakshmi, his wife, right? She comes to us. But what do we do with that? Again, we should engage Lakshmi in Krishna service.
But by that 7 years, your consciousness will also change.
Yes, exactly.
Like
you don't enjoy.
You will do it for.
Yes, exactly. Right. That's the thing.
But it will take a 1 second to fall down. It's not.
No, not
even
1 second.
Okay, 1 minute.
Okay, we can stop it. Hare Krishna.